Well, this morning I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to Romans 8. I'm going to head back to Romans 8. We've been learning about one of the primary ways that a person can know for sure whether they are not, or whether they are or not truly saved, whether or not you have been justified by faith and now stand before God, as it says there in the very first verse of chapter 8, with no condemnation. No condemnation. I hope that that's a desire of your heart, that you can know that beyond any shadow of a doubt, that you are saved and stand before God with no condemnation. And that way that he demonstrates this and really proves this to the heart of his people is this: God himself puts himself in everyone who believes in Christ and who belongs to Christ. God himself puts himself in you. We sang a little bit about that this morning through the Holy Spirit, how the Comforter has come, the Holy Spirit from heaven, the Father's promise given to us, and not just among us, but in his very people. He does this through the personal, indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we found there in the first part of verse 9, where we actually ended last Sunday, where Paul wrote this: "But ye," referring to believers in Christ who are justified by faith in Christ, "but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." And it's referring there to the Holy Spirit of God, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Do you have that assurance today? Do you have that assurance in your heart and in your own life right now, that the Spirit of God himself at this very moment dwells in you? You can. Because this is a special promise that was made by Jesus Christ himself. Again, we sang it earlier. When Jesus was here on this earth, you don't need to turn to these passages, but when he was here in John 14, 16 through 18, Jesus said to his disciples that "I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter." The Comforter has come. "That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Jesus promises, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." You know, the coming of the Holy Spirit of God to indwell the believers in Christ is a promise that Jesus made 2,000 years ago when he was here in this world. Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to not only be with you, but to be in fact in you. And that promise applies to everyone who trusts in Christ. Well, not long after Jesus died on the cross and rose again, ascended back into the heaven, then we also find a special provision of the Holy Spirit. A special provision in the book of Acts when on the day known to the Jews as Pentecost, and they had a special celebration some 50 days after the Passover, those same disciples were gathered together in the city of Jerusalem in the upper room. And you remember the story. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues as a fire. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus here kept his promise and provided the Holy Spirit to fill in and to dwell every one of his disciples. And that provision applies again to everyone who believes in Christ. But then, through the words of Jesus and his disciples, we learn of a special purpose for the Holy Spirit. Actually, several special purposes for the coming of the Holy Spirit that God, the Holy Spirit, then fulfills when he takes up residence in your heart. Remember in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he even describes our bodies as the temples of the Holy Spirit. The house of God is not a building made with hands. The house of God is the heart of his believers, his people. So what does the Holy Spirit do to you? What does the Holy Spirit do for you? Well, the Holy Spirit, first and foremost, saves you. Of course, God the Father does, and God the Son does as well, but God the Holy Spirit as well saves you. He is intimately involved in the process of your own salvation from sin, and that's a blessing. In Titus 3:5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit." You can thank the Holy Spirit for doing that regenerating, renewing process in your life, in your heart, so that you could then be saved. He regenerates you. He renews you into a new creation in Jesus Christ. Another work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit then satisfies you. Remember, the Comforter has come. And what is a Comforter? Someone who comes alongside to encourage you along the pathway of life. I remember when I was a boy, I had a blanket. I had a Comforter. And I had a name for that Comforter. It was called my Kiki. So everywhere I went, I wanted my Kiki because it helped me through all those trials when I was just a little boy. But you know what? God sent His Holy Spirit to be our Comforter, to be the one that sees us through the difficulties and the trials of this life. Even as Brother Tim prayed earlier, He satisfies us. That's His ministry. That's His work. And He does so from the inside out. Another activity of the Holy Spirit is He steers you. He steers me. He is the one who Jesus said in John 16:13 will guide you unto all truth, because He Himself is the Spirit of truth. But even more, the Holy Spirit sanctifies you. You know, it's His fruit that you will bear as you grow in your walk with Christ. Just turn to Galatians chapter 5. We saw this last week. The work of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. The love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. All of those things, if they're there, they're not something that you create. They're something that God creates. They're something the Holy Spirit bears in your heart and life. But also the Holy Spirit, part of His work is to seal you. He is the spiritual brand that keeps you and secures you as one who belongs to God. It's kind of like the brands that ranchers will put on their animals to identify them, that this particular animal belongs to me, to this ranch, to this farm. Nobody else's. So if it happens to get lost, if it's grazing somewhere else, they realize that this animal belongs to this person. And that is what God does by sending the Holy Spirit, not just to dwell with us, but to dwell in us. He says, "This Spirit is my brand upon you. This is my brand in you to show everyone in this world that you belong to me, to no one else but me." Ephesians 4:30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." These are just some of the special purposes that God has for the Holy Spirit as He indwells you if you are a follower of Christ. So to have the Holy Spirit in your life is a good thing. To have the Holy Spirit in your life as your guide, to be the one that is your comforter, to be the seal and the brand of God in your heart, it's a wonderful thing. And so it is an important thing for you to know whether or not, as we see there in the first part of verse 9, that ye are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Do you know that the Spirit of Christ dwells in you today? Do you know that without any doubt in your mind and heart? It's important for you to know this. To help you to know, in the rest of verse 9 through verse 11, sort of the final part of this section, the Apostle Paul provides three ramifications of this truth. The truth of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in the lives of Christians, in the lives of God's people. And in each one of these ramifications, they are introduced the same way. They're actually introduced in the Greek with the same words. And those words are two: but if. But if. We'll see those here in a minute. But let's look at verse 9. Again, picking up there in the first part where we saw and ended last Sunday. "Ye are not in the flesh, Christian, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Does the Spirit of Christ dwell in you? Next part of verse 9. "Now if," or "but if, any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." "And if," or "but if, Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." And then the third, "but if." "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken and enliven your mortal, your dead bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." As we go through these verses this morning, ask yourself this question. Does the Spirit of Christ dwell in you? Does the Spirit of Christ dwell in you? Search your heart. And be sure, because it's important. Because as we see in verse 9, the very first thing to know about the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is this: there is healing in His indwelling presence. Oh, there is healing in His indwelling presence. Verse 9 again, the last part: "Now if," or "but if, any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." The simple meaning of this verse is that if the Holy Spirit is in you, then you are His. You belong to Him. You belong to God. If the Holy Spirit is not in you, then the clear and simple answer is you're not His. And you do not belong to Him. That is how important it is to know whether or not the Holy Spirit indwells you. If He does, you're His. If He doesn't, you're not. And so we see from this statement the spiritual situation of an unbeliever. The spiritual situation of an unbeliever. At the first part there, he gives a condition. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ. Now before we move on, we need to realize that the Holy Spirit is described in the Bible in various ways. He is known as and is called the Spirit of Christ here in this verse. But if you look at the very first part of verse 9, he's called the Spirit of God. The Spirit of Christ is the same person as the Spirit of God. If you look up to verse 2 of this chapter, he is referred to as the Spirit of life. Elsewhere in the Bible, the Spirit is called the Spirit of truth or the Spirit of wisdom. He's called the Spirit of adoption. There's others as well. That does not mean that there are multiple divine spirits, because there's only one, the Holy Spirit. But there is such a close connection to both God the Father and God the Son that the Holy Spirit is often referred to as their Spirit, and who possesses all of their divine qualities. These names and descriptions of the Holy Spirit draw us into the mysterious doctrine of the Trinity, that even though there is only one God, as the Bible clearly defines for us from the Old and New Testaments both, yet God exists in three distinct persons: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who we've been learning about here in chapter 8. But the connection between them is so close that each person within the Trinity operates within the work of the others. So it can be said that when the Holy Spirit indwells a believer, so does the Father and so does the Son. When it says that the Father created the world, we recognize that, yes, the Son also created the world, and so also did the Spirit. They each operate within each other's works. And that's why when we say that the Holy Spirit makes your heart His home if you're a Christian, it means that Christ is there too. Not physically. Of course, we know that Jesus has a body who exists there in heaven on the right hand of God right now. But spiritually, Christ is there. Christ is with you. Christ is in you, along with His Spirit, along with the Father. This is one of the greatest blessings of being a Christian. God Himself is with you and is in you, all of Him. And that's a great comfort no matter where you go in this world, no matter what you do. We have been praying for our missionaries in other countries where the lockdowns are still going on, and they have a harder time because of the coronavirus than even we do here. I've been following the Arnolds, our missionaries in the Philippines, and how they have just now recently been able to go to church, but only one at a time, because children still cannot go to church. So Joel went last week, and Sarah went this week. And we think, boy, it's got to be difficult. It's got to be trying. But one of the great blessings about being a Christian is that you do not have to go to church to have Christ with you and in you. You are the church, and wherever you go, if you know Christ as your Savior, you have the blessing of all of God in you and with you. God the Father, God the Son, through the means of the God, the Holy Spirit. That's one of the blessings. But for an unbeliever, as we just see here in verse 9, that is not the case. Unbelievers don't have that blessing. Again, he says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, What a sad statement. What a sad way to live your life. What a sad, tragic way to experience this world, to not have the Spirit of Christ, to not have Him with you, to not have Him within you. And it means that you do not have any of the goodness, any of the blessing of Christ. And so that leads us to the spiritual significance of being without the indwelling presence of God. The very last phrase of verse 9, He is none of His. If the Spirit of Christ is not yours, then you are not His. If the Spirit of Christ is not yours, you are not His. And that is tragic. And I believe the reason Paul puts this ramification first is to get you and me to examine ourselves, to search out whether or not the Spirit of God does dwell within us, and be sure about it, to be sure that you have the Spirit of Christ within you. But how can you know? Well, he's already laid that out for us earlier in this chapter. In fact, if you go back to verses 5 through 9, we saw that there is a difference in the life of a Christian because the difference is given through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you remember from last Sunday, we saw that there's a different disposition in your heart. In other words, you look after the things of the Spirit and not the things of the flesh primarily. That's a difference. There's a different in direction, a difference in direction. Instead of death, there's life and peace. There's a difference in determination for God and His will. Just read through those verses again. Oh, how we need the Spirit of Christ in our lives. And you can. And you can know this by, of course, remembering who Christ actually is. He is the Son of Man, the Son of God who became the Son of Man. He is the Son of God who became a man. And why did He come? To seek and to save those who are lost. He came to then live for us, die for us. He was buried in the grave and ground and rose again for us. And if you turn to and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what happens? He puts His Spirit within you. He keeps His promise. He provides the promise. When you listen to His voice, when you believe in His truth, you receive the promise of His presence through the Holy Spirit. And then the last part of verse 9 will not be true of you. Instead, you will have Him, and He will have you. Does the Spirit of Christ dwell within you today? You know, there's great healing in the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Search and be sure. But then we see, second, that there is help in His indwelling presence as well. There is help in His indwelling presence. There is great help, which is what we find in verse 10, when he adds, but if, Christ be in you. Remember, these are interchangeable words. Even though they are distinct people within the Trinity, distinct persons, yet if the Father is in you, so is the Son, and so is the Spirit. And so if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Oh, that defines our existence here in this world. Our bodies are dead because of sin, but spiritually, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You need to remember that if the Holy Spirit is in you because you're a Christian, then so is Jesus Christ Himself in a spiritual way. And so the spiritual situation of the believer is this. Verse 10, Christ is in you. Christ is in you. This is what the Apostle John wrote in 1 John 4:15, when he says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." What a great truth. What an amazing comfort to know that wherever you are, whatever you do, God is with you. And if that is your situation today, then Paul uses these words to encourage you. He wants to encourage you. Because of the spiritual significance of that indwelling presence. He adds in verse 10, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, when Paul writes about the body here, he is clearly talking about your body and my body, our physical natures as human beings. And there's one primary characteristic that applies to each one of our bodies, and that is, again, verse 10, the body is dead. That's very strong language. Now you say, well, wait a second. My body's not dead. It's dying, but it's not dead. I mean, I haven't been buried and I've been put in a casket yet. But Paul doesn't say that your body is dying. He literally says your body is dead. And he means it. You see, death attaches itself so closely to our bodies that they can already be called and considered dead. It's just our existence hasn't caught up to that yet. But again, sadly, this is something we are all too familiar with. I was sitting on our love seat earlier this week, and the sad thing is this has happened to me before. And I put my feet up on the ottoman. That's all I did. And all of a sudden, I got this pain in the sole of my foot. And it lasted for 5 minutes. Like a tendon or something got pulled for simply putting my feet up on the ottoman. The body is dead, isn't it? The body feels dead sometimes. And we know that's where the body is headed because that's the way our bodies are right now. Of course, the reason for this is sin. The body is dead because of sin. Romans 6:23. Again, we saw this a few weeks ago. For the wages of sin is death. Now, that's not very encouraging news when we think about our bodies and we think about how death attaches itself to us and how we are dying and how we are suffering and how we are in pain and we do experience sorrow. It's not very encouraging, but wait, as the infomercials will often say, there's more to this verse and there's more to this story, isn't there? Because then, next, Paul writes about the Spirit. Now, he's not talking here about your spirit. I think we'll see why here in a moment. He's talking about God's Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit that he's been describing all throughout these verses. The Holy Spirit who indwells you if you're a believer in Christ. So even though, verse 10, your body is dead because of sin, the Spirit, that is God's Spirit, is life. Because of righteousness. This has to refer to the Holy Spirit. It has to refer to Him alone because He alone is pure life. Now, you and I, because we have Christ and the Spirit in our life, we are living spiritually, but we aren't life. We aren't life itself. Only the Spirit of God is the Spirit of life. And not only that, He alone possesses true righteousness. Any righteousness that I possess or do ultimately comes from God Himself. He is the one who is life. He is the one who is righteous. So all of the defects that you possess because of your physical fallen nature, you know what God does through His Spirit who indwells you? He meets those needs head on through the indwelling presence of His Spirit. So what does God do? God Himself heals and helps your condition of death with His life. Isn't that a blessing? Oh, my body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit of God is my life. The Spirit of God brings me life. The Spirit of God quickens me and enlivens me every single day. Another thing, God Himself heals and helps your condition of sin. How? Through His righteousness. Through His own righteousness. The righteousness of Christ Himself. So when you are faced with this condition of your body time and time again, you're weak. You're prone to death. You're prone to sinfulness. Don't be discouraged, even though that's so often the way we feel. Even as believers, we get discouraged because we feel that death. We feel that sin. We experience that. But there is still help, isn't there? There's still help in the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit through His life and through His righteousness. So if Christ be in you this morning, be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Recognize that there is always help through the Holy Spirit. His life for your death. His righteousness for your sin. But then we also say, C3, that there is hope in His indwelling presence. There's great hope. And that's what we find in verse 11 when Paul continues, but if, again, the third time, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, again, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, He that raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken and enliven your mortal, your dead bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Here we're given another one of those descriptions of the Holy Spirit. He's referred to as, and it's a phrase, the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. That is tantamount to saying what He said in verse 9 when He said He's the Spirit of God. Who's the one that is given the primary activity of raising Jesus from the dead? God the Father. And so he's the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead. He's the Spirit of God the Father. Multiple times, God the Father is described as the one who raised Jesus from the dead. But of course, again, all three persons of the Trinity were involved in the resurrection. We see this in the New Testament. We see when Jesus himself said, I have power to take it again. Even the Holy Spirit is the one who is reckoned as the person who brought the Lord Jesus from the dead. So again, all three persons involved. So the spiritual situation of the believer is mentioned in different terms here than in verse 10. So not only is Christ in you, verse 10, but so is the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. He dwells in you too. You see the blessing of the Trinity in our hearts and lives? God exists in you. God dwells in you if you are His. Are you starting to see how vital and important this truth is, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit? Through this verse and through this description of the Holy Spirit, your mind is drawn to, again, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I think Paul does this because he wants you not just to be encouraged, he wants to excite you. He wants to excite us because of the spiritual significance of this truth. Again, what truth? Verse 11, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by that same Spirit that dwelleth in you. If the Holy Spirit indwells you, then the Holy Spirit will quicken you. He will give you life. And He will bring your old, dead body back to life one day. That's one of the great things to think about when we think about this body of death. You know, we're all destined, apart from the rapture, we're all destined to be buried in the ground somewhere. And then you think of all the people that have died since the beginning of this world. From Adam and Eve, all those that were slain through the flood, all those that have died. And you know, we only have just a portion of the graves, don't we? We have cemeteries that just contain a small portion. In fact, mass graves are found all the time where there are hundreds, thousands, perhaps even tens of thousands of skeletons. Death is everywhere. But for those, all those whose skeletons have been found or never will be found, perhaps have even just disintegrated back into the dust of this earth, you know what's going to happen to their mortal bodies? Because the Spirit of God dwelt in them. He will also quicken their dead bodies. Not sure exactly how that's going to happen, but you can read Ezekiel, right? And the Spirit of God comes at the trump of God, the last trump where Jesus Christ is going to come for His people. And all of those atoms, all of those things are going to come together and reform those bodies in a new glorified fashion and quicken us to be with Him forevermore. So even though there is right now for the Christian life in you through the Spirit, yet there remains death in you in your body. But take hope, Christian, because God will one day make you perfectly and permanently whole and alive. And He will do that with the same power He used to raise up Jesus from the dead. Do you know what the Holy Spirit does for you if He's in you today? He offers you real hope for your future. Oh, He helps you in your present. But He gives you real hope for your future. Even as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, I want us to all turn to that passage here as we end. 1 Corinthians 15, I'd like to read verses 51 through 57, where Paul writes again to the Corinthian church, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this dead body, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So search your own heart this morning and be sure. Be sure that, again, Romans 8, 9, the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. Are you sure of that? Be sure that, again, Romans 8, 10, Christ Himself is in you. Are you sure of that? Be sure that, again, in verse 11, the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Are you sure of that? Examine yourself. Because, again, Romans 8, 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Does the Holy Spirit dwell within you? Search your heart and be sure. Because if you're not sure, God gives you a way to be sure. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that He can provide you what He promised, the Comforter that has come and will come and dwell within you. And there is great healing in His indwelling presence. He will continue Christ's work in your heart. Do you believe that? The Holy Spirit will satisfy you with His peace. The Holy Spirit will steer you with His truth. The Holy Spirit will sanctify you with His holiness. And the Holy Spirit will seal you unto the day of your own redemption. And then, live the way Christ intends you to live. Be encouraged. Because in Him you will find the help that you need in your present trials. His life for your death. His righteousness for your sin. And then, what's more, be excited for Him. Be excited for the hope that He gives you for your future. He will quicken you someday. Your mortal body, your own mortal body, He will give to life just like He did Christ. Does the Holy Spirit dwell within you? Search and be sure. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank You for the promise of Your Holy Spirit that was made by our Lord Jesus Christ even while He was here in this world. And it was also a promise that was made in the Old Testament. But Lord, it's a promise that finds its fulfillment and provision in Your people, especially today. And so, Father, You intend for Your people to know this, to know and be sure that the Holy Spirit of God truly does indwell them. You've given us proof. You've given us ways to know. You've given us evidence. And now, Father, I pray that You'll help us to see these ramifications about the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. If He's not there, we don't belong to Him. If He's not there, we don't belong to You. But if He is there, not only do we belong to You, but Lord, we can be encouraged because of the help that He brings, and we can be excited because of the hope that He brings. And so, Father, I pray that You'll help us to search and be sure. And then, Father, receive the encouragement, the help, and the hope that only Your Spirit can give us. And Lord, in these times that we live in, we need it more than ever. And so, Father, we thank You for providing the gracious promise of Your Holy Spirit to Your people. Lord, if there's someone here who does not know that for sure, they do not know if the Holy Spirit is within them, I pray, O Lord, that You'll open their eyes to see their need of Christ. Because as we see, or will see later, it's the Spirit of God who speaks to our own spirit that we are Your children. And so, Father, I pray that You'll open their eyes to see their need of salvation, but then help them to realize that once they are saved, once they do turn to and trust in Jesus alone, that You will keep that promise, that the Holy Spirit will indwell them and satisfy them and sanctify them and steer them and seal them and all the blessings that we see in the New Testament. And so, Lord, I pray that everyone here will know that truth by knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then, Lord, for those who do know You, I pray that once again they will experience the encouragement and the excitement that the Holy Spirit brings to our souls. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.